I want to speak about a medrash that I think I've spoken about before, but given a different explanation. Today I want to give a new explanation to this medrash. And medrash, it's a Gemara really. The Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to build a Mishkan, so he intended that the Mishkan be built first, and then the Aaron and the rest of the Kelim. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told it to Bezalel, turned it around, and he said to build the Aaron and the Kelim, and then the Mishkan, meaning the outer environs of the Mishkan. The plan.
What's the order again?
What?
What's the order?
The order originally was supposed to be Mishkan, Aaron, and Kelim. And Moshe Rabbeinu turned it around and told Bezalel to build the Aaron, Kelim, and Mishkan. Bezalel said, that can't be. Lom kach min hago shalolam. That's not the way of the world. A person doesn't make his furniture and then build his house around it. If I don't build the environs of the Mishkan first, where am I going to put the furniture? Where am I going to put the Kelim? Must be that God told you first to make the Mishkan and then the Aaron, the Kelim. And Moshe said, wow, you knew what God said. Bitzel Kael Hayisa, you were in the shadow of God, and you knew what he said, so that's why they called him Bezalel. So a few questions. One question is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu switch it around? To assume that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake is impossible, because then the whole Torah is put into question. Maybe he made a mistake in other things too. Secondly, if Moshe Rabbeinu on purpose mixed it around, why would he do that? Has he allowed to play around with the Torah? And thirdly, if Bezalel knew the right thing, then why is he called Bezalel? Tzel, shadow, is always a sign of doubt. Shadow of a doubt. Or in Hebrew, Tzilo Shel Safik. Right? Or is always a sign of clarity. So he should have been called Or Kael, not Bezalel. He wasn't Bezalel Kael. He wasn't in the shadow of God. He was in the light of God. He knew of what it was said. So I want to explain this Gemara in the following way with a lengthy preface. There are many things that we find that originally God intended to do them one way, and in the end they turned out something in a different way. I'll give you a few examples. One, God intended to create the world b'midas hadin, right? Total justice. And then he added rachamim. He added mercy. Okay? Another thing, it says originally God intended that the trees and the fruit be the same thing. That the tree and the fruit have the same taste. And in the end, the trees produced fruit, but they weren't, the bark wasn't fruit itself. Didn't have the same taste as the fruit. Originally, God intended for the entire history of the world to unfold from Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. In the end, Adam was thrown out of Gan Eden, and the whole history of the world changed. Different process. God intended first for there to be first Luchos, which were very different than the second ones, and in the end, it's the second Luchos that we got, not the first ones. First ones are broken. It says that God intended to create one human being. He intended to create two separate human beings, male and female, but he created them together and then separated them. So what does this mean? Right? I mean, what, God changed his mind? He had a good idea, but then he decided something different? Obviously can't be. God doesn't change his mind. Now the idea is the following. That in Shamayim, okay, according to the ideal, right, in a perfect ideal world, the things that the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to do, right, were the ideal. However, since he created an imperfect world, okay, and on purpose, in order that we should be able to perfect it and perfect ourselves, because if we'd be in a perfect world, then there'd be nothing to do. So the Rabbeinu Shalom created an imperfect world. In the limitations of the imperfect world, that perfection can't be. It has to be a process that goes with that with that perfection being the goal, but the process has to start at a different point. An example. Really, the ideal would have been to have a world that was totally based on justice. Justice meaning you get what you deserve. No more, no less. No help. Why is that ideal? Because what was the purpose of this world? That man should earn his share in the world to come. He shouldn't be given to it on a silver platter, right? So the more that you get help, the more it defeats the purpose. The more you get exactly what you deserve means that you create it. Right? It's a result of your work. But God saw that it has to work both ways. That if you don't deserve it, right, then you get strict justice that could be terrible for a person. So therefore he said, look, according to the limitations and imperfections of this world, we're going to have to add mercy. You're going to have to get some help. Better you should get something with some help than get nothing with no help. So because of the imperfections of this world, there had to be a process that the goal and the ideal was if you could exist with pure justice, fine. And there were people who were able to exist like that. Rabbi Akiva was able to exist with pure justice. That's why when they were combing his flesh with iron combs, the angel said, is this the reward for Torah? And God answered them, this is what came into my mind to begin with. Meaning this was the ideal of how the world should have been. But most people can't live like that. So Rabbi Akiva got punished for the small sins he did without any mercy. But what was left was all his own earning of Olam Haba, an unbelievable Olam Haba. So that's the idea. Really, according to the ideal, if there could God would have created an ideal heavenly world, then this would have been the way it was. But because God created an imperfect world that we're supposed to perfect, according to the imperfections and the limitations of that world, it couldn't be the ideal. It had to be something less than the ideal that was a process that goes towards the ideal. The ideal is still preserved, but it's preserved as the goal of that imperfect process. Okay, you with me? That explains the following, I think. It says that every Jew has to say, when will my deeds reach the deeds of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Now, do we really think that we're ever going to reach the deeds of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? No. So why do you have to say it for? Because you have to realize the ideal was the Avos. The Avos reached the ideal situation where their tents were mamish like the Mishkan. God's presence was always with them. That's the ideal. Now, I can't reach that ideal, perhaps. Right? I have to live in an imperfect world where I can't reach that ideal to a certain degree. But I have to realize what the ideal is, so at least in the process of what I can do, I know that the goal is to reach that ideal so I can reach as much of it as I can. But if I forget what the ideal is, then I'll have no idea what I'm supposed to accomplish altogether. So you always have to keep in mind what the ideal is. Right, what God intended, at the same time, realize that even if that ideal is unattainable, but what you can attain will be at least along those lines, with that in mind. With this, you can understand a little bit from current events why the Gedolim are making such a big deal about this Chok HaGius of boys being taken to Yeshiva, boys being taken to the army. Because some people say, well, what's a big deal? Everybody should be learning. There are a lot of people who aren't really learning, and they really belong in the army, and they let the army make, divisions that are compatible to yeshiva, to charedim, or whatever. That's not the main thing. I think in an imperfect world, right, not everybody is going to be sitting and learning full time. And the reality is that there are boys that perhaps should be in the army. Right? Not every boy who's not learning should be in the army either, because if he's not learning, then maybe the army will destroy him. But maybe, yeah, there should be. But the ideal is that that people should be sitting and learning. This is the Yotzim in a cloud. This is less than the ideal. Okay? And that could be the less than the ideal has to exist. But what they want to do is make the ideal the less than the ideal. This should be the way it is. That can't be. The ideal has to remain the ideal. if there are yotzim min haklal, if there are exceptions, then the Rosh Hashivas will deal with the exceptions of who yes and who not. But when the government all of a sudden makes it a klal, so the yotzei min haklal becomes the klal, and they'll decide who yes and who not or whatever, and they'll decide that not everybody should be learning, that's even not the ideal, then there's something 100% wrong with it. To leave it in the hands of a secular government and to make it clear that not everybody should be learning, right? In other words, to lower the bar. It's no longer the ideal. Now the ideal is that not everybody should be learning. That's already a total distortion of the Torah, and that's something that has to be fought. There are other reasons why to fight it, but that I think is one reasonable understanding. And that's why, even though the first Luchos, which were much more perfect than the second ones, it says the first Luchos had all the Torah Shebal Peh on it. Right? All the Gemara, not the way we have it, was somewhere on the Luchos. A person could learn with the first Luchos and never forget. And learn without too much effort. Those were broken. And the reality is that we need to put effort into Torah and to forget, so you have to always keep on your toes. Okay? But the first Luchos were not discarded. They were put into the Arum too, the broken Luchos. Why? To know that was the ideal. And everything you're doing in the process of the imperfect is in light of that ideal, to hopefully reach towards that ideal, even if you can't get it mamish. Same thing, Rosh Hashanah. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a world where he added mercy, right? But originally the plan was total justice. So there's still a remembrance of that. There's a Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom HaDin, a day of justice. No mercy. Then he made the Yom Kippur, where he adds mercy. But he didn't totally negate the ideal. It's still there. It's just that the process that we need has to reach towards that ideal, but you still have to remember what the ideal was. You have to remember there is such a thing as a Yom HaDin, as of a Rosh Hashanah. That's why, even though the trees didn't produce trees that were fruit, only trees that bore fruit, but there is a tree that is the fruit, the esrog. So the esrog, not that you eat the bark, but it has the same taste as the fruit. And that is reminds us of what the ideal, what should have been. And that's why it says Sukkos is like Gan Eden. Sitting in the Sukkos is like sitting in Gan Eden. It reminds you of what the ideal was. Yeah, in this world, we're not in Gan Eden. And we don't have trees that the tree is the fruit. There's a difference between the tree and the bark. Right? It's not perfect. But we have a remembrance of what the perfection is, because it's not that the perfection was totally negated. It's there. It's just that now you need a process to reach it as much as you can, right? But you should remember what you're reaching towards, what the ideal is. Okay. And the same thing goes with male and female. Then God created them. He intended to create two separate beings, and then he created them together and separated them, but the purpose is that they should unite again into one being. So that ideal, right, is of two separate beings that are really one, still exists in this world. You have to work towards it. You have to, what's it called? You have to get married, and you have to treat your husband and wife properly, and then you can get back to that ideal where those two separate beings are like one. I was thinking, because of that, that there's an ideal of the Ribbono Shel Olam intended two beings that were mamish one, and then he created them as one and separated them, which are not mamish one anymore, but they have to come back to that oneness. That explains the following. When you make the Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, first you make the Brach on the wine, and then the other six brachas that represent the relationship between the Chassan and Kala, and them and Eretz Yisrael, and them and the other people, the relationships of how their marriage is solidified. But first comes the Borei Pri HaGafen. When you make Sheva brachas at a meal, not under the chuppah, it's the opposite order. first the six brachas and then Borei Pri Hagafen. There was a halachic reason why for that. I was thinking of a hashgafic reason also. The chuppah represents the ideal. The ideal is that you should start out, Borei Pri Hagafen is the idea of Olam Haba, of the Yayin HaMeshumer Ba'anova, the Yayin comes out of the grape, right? It's the hidden part of the grape. This is the spiritual hidden world is represented by wine. You drink wine, your secrets come out. It brings out the inside, the Pnimius. That's the ideal. Everything really should start with that tremendous ideal of unity, and then it's expressed by all these other brachas. But that's not the way it is. The way it is that first you have to go through the process of all these other brachas before you can get back to that ideal. So under the chuppah, you start with the ideal, and that itself leads to the relationships that the brachas represent. But in reality, first you have to work on the relationships before you can get to that ideal, and therefore you have the brachas before the Borei Pri Hagafen. Okay. Okay, and that could be also relevant to what this week said. There's also Parshas HaChodesh. HaChodesh HaShel Zelachem. We said God created the world ideally, total justice. That's Tishrei. That's Rosh Hashanah. Okay? But he added Rachamim. Rachamim is more Nisan. Nisan is Pesach. The word Pesach, we normally think means to pass over, to skip over. But Rashi says another meaning, according to the Targum. Pesach means to have mercy. Right? The Rabban Chos, the Targum says, he had mercy on us. Pasach Abotev, he had mercy on the houses of the Jewish people and didn't bring the Malach HaMavis or didn't kill the firstborn there. So Pesach is the mercy beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah is the din. So Rosh Hashanah is the ideal. And therefore the year starts with Rosh Hashanah. That's the ideal. But the months, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, right, the Chodesh is this world, the imperfections of this world. The moon is not perfect. It goes away, it comes back. The sun is constant. So the solar year begins with Din. That's the ideal. But the lunar year, the months start with the Rachamim. The way that the Rebbeinu Shlom made the world according to what's possible, practically speaking. Right? In an imperfect world, you need rachamim too. So Pesach is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. Rishon Hu Lochem. It's for your sake. But it's not the ideal. But if you work out and work out the mercy that God had, and you remember all the miracles, and then you'll deserve, then you can go back to the justice too. If you remember all these things, you'll be able to function in a world where there's total justice, because you'll be doing what's right. So this is the process. So this is from the beginning of the months, it is, but it's not the beginning of the year. It's for you. It's for your sake, because you live in an imperfect world. So there had to be a Golus Mitzrayim and a Yetzias Mitzrayim. All of that is part of the imperfection of the world. But the goal is Rosh Hashanah's Tishrei is Din. Okay. Now, let's apply that to this Gemara that we said. There's two Mikdash. There's the Mikdash in the perfect world above. That's what's called the Beis HaMikdash Shomala, right? The Beis HaMikdash in the upper spiritual world, which is in the world of perfection. In perfection, the Kelim come before the Mishkan, meaning the following. The purpose of the Mishkan is to use the various utensils to enhance God's presence in the world, to serve God's presence. But you don't need to first establish God's presence. He's everywhere. In a perfect world, the Kelim would precede the Mishkan, because the Kelim are the means to serve God's presence, which is everywhere. So you don't have to establish a Mishkan first. First you establish the Kelim, and that enhances God's presence everywhere. That's the idea of the Kelim before the Mishkan. But in an imperfect world, first you have to establish God's presence in the world before you can serve Him. So you first have to create the Mishkan before you can have the Kelim. When Moshe Rabbeinu got the command, he was in the heavens. So he heard the perfect Mishkan. First Kelim, and then Mishkan. God, however, was not talking to him in that state. He was talking to him when he's not to bring down to this imperfect world. So for the imperfect world, right, there the Mishkan has to precede the Kelim. But that's the idea. It says, Yoshe b'seiser elyon. The Ravon Shalolam dwells, the Elyon, God who is up there in that perfect world, dwells in, he's hidden, b'seiser, right? We can't perceive that. That's beyond our perception. That's perfection. That's God in that perfect world. And there's different rules than there are in this world. B'seil, in the shade, in the shadow, Shakai Yislonan. There God is Shakai. Shakai means Sha'omar Li'olomo Dai. He made the world, he gave it limits. He limited this world. He told the world enough. In other words, up till here, it's not a perfect, infinite world. It's a world with limitations and boundaries. It's an imperfect world. Okay? Everything has limitations and boundaries. Imperfect. It's not everything. It's only part. So the shadow represents the fact that this world is a place which is not perfect and has its limitations. That's what it says. Moshe Rabbeinu reported to Bezalel what he heard in that perfect heavenly Mishkan, that the Kelim come first. But Bezalel said, Lo min hagar, that's not the minig of this world. Right? That is for the heavenly world. But that's not in the world of shade, shadow, where everything is not clear and everything has to be, limited. Here, first you have to establish the Shekhinah, then you can serve it. Here you need the Mishkan first. That's what Moshe said, B'tzeil kel. You were in the shadow of God. When I was up there, I was not in the shadow, I was B'seiser Elyon. So I heard Mishkan, what's called Kelim and then Mishkan. But you're in this shadow world. In the shadow world, you're right. God meant the opposite way, right? It's just like all the other things that were intended the ideal one way, but practically speaking, it has to be a different way. But Saul, you understood the practical, but I heard the ideal. So Moshe didn't change it around, except in the world he was in, that's the way it was. When it comes into this world, it has to change and be adapted to the imperfections of this world. I think that's what the Gemara means. And therefore, when it says, it's interesting, when the command was given to Moshe up on the mountain in the spiritual world, so it says like this, it says the building materials for the Mishkan were Zohav, Kesef, Nechoshes, and it says Zohav, Vachesef, and Nechoshes would evolve this and this and this and this up until it gets to Shemen Lamor, the oil for the candelabra, for the menorah, and the besamim for the ketores that was on the mizbeach zohav, okay, and the stones that were for the big day kahuna, okay. All the other materials went into making the framework of the Mishkan, even though they were used for other things too, but mainly they were needed for the frame of the Mishkan, zohav, kesef, nechoshes, and so on, all the tapestries or whatever. These things were needed for the Kalim. Okay? In that world, the Kalim didn't come after those things. They preceded them. Except they're mentioned afterwards, but therefore there's no Vav by Shem and Lama'or. Because it didn't come after the other ones. It came before them. It just mentioned after. So therefore, those three things were part of the Kalim. They really were coming, came first. So they can't put a vav over there as if they come after the other ones. They're a unit to themselves. And in order, really, they come first. They're just mentioned later for whatever reason. In this week's Sedra, where it repeats the same exact list, but it puts a vav by Vishem and Lamaor, because now it comes after. Because now the Kalim come after the Mishkan. In this world. So in this world there's a vav before Vishemen, because it follows the other ones. In the ideal world, it doesn't follow the other ones, it's separate to itself. Because those deal with the Kalim, and the first things dealt with the framework of the Mishkan. And that's why the Mishkan was finished on Kislev, but it wasn't erected till Nisan, because it was finished according to the ideal. The ideal was it should be connected to Tishrei, to Din. But Lamaisa, it wasn't, what's it called, actually erected till Pesach, when there was Rachamim too, just like the world. The world originally was total Din, but then you had to add Rachamim. So the Mishkan, which is like a recreation of the world, it's a little universe, the Mishkan, so it followed the same thing. It's mainly finished in the time of Din. The first 3 months, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, is Din. But it wasn't put up until Nisan, which is Rachamim. Rachamim with Din together, because Yitzchak Avinu was born in Nisan. He's Midas HaDin, but it's connected with the Rachamim of Pesach, of Pesach, of Chos. And that's why there were two people who built the Mishkan. Just like the world was created with Din and Rachamim. Bezalel was from Yehuda. Yehuda is Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Rachamim. And Ahaliyav is from Dan, is Din. So you had the Din and the Rachamim building the Mishkan. And that's why it's Davka Bezalel who recognized the practicality of having the Rachamim, that he's the one who understood that first you have to have the Mishkan and then you can have the Kelim. First you need God's presence to help you to use the Kelim. It's also part of the idea. That's why in the heavenly Mishkan, the ideal, the Mishkan takes precedence over Shabbos. Because in that realm, the Mishkan itself is the world to come. It's the place of what's it called, of serving the Shekhinah, which is everywhere. That's the world to come, where God's presence permeates everything. But Shabbos is only Me'ein Olam Haba. It's only like the world to come. But in this world, it's the opposite. And here, down here, the Mishkan represents this physical world, which you reach towards the world to come. And Shabbos represents the world to come. So Shabbos takes precedence over the Mishkan. And that's the whole idea of Zohar V'Shomer, B'Dibur Echad. Zohar is the Shabbos. The Zohar aspect of Shabbos is Shabbos is like Olam Haba. The Shomar is in this world, though, you have to not do malacha or whatever. You have to go through a process to reach that. So that is the ideal is the Zohar. But you need the process of the Shomar to get to that Zohar. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash also, there were three functions in the Beis HaMikdash. One was Aliyah L'Regel, that you ascended there to feel God's presence, to come in contact with God's presence, and you made karbanos. You used the various utensils and vessels for karban. The shulchan was a kind of karban that was made on that. The mizbeach haktores. So all of the kelim were to a certain degree things to use to get closer to God. Avram and Yitzchak saw the Mikdash as a har, a mountain, meaning a place where you ascend to come in contact with God's presence, and a soda, a field, a place where you use the field as a fertile place to develop things. So you develop with the kelim your relationship to God. So that's like making sacrifice or whatever. It's like planting and developing that relationship with God. But we don't call it the har or the soda. Yaakov looked at it as a bias. Bias Lashem. First you have to establish that this is God's place. Before you can use the kelim to serve God's presence, you first have to establish His presence. So in this limited world, we first have to establish God's presence and get His help to use it to serve Him. But in the ideal world, God's presence is established by itself, and you then use the kelim, right, without any help, to get closer to God, right? But in this world, we need first to establish God's presence so He can help us to get closer to Him, which that's the mercy. So therefore, we don't call it a har, and we don't call it a soda, we call it a bias. Because Yaakov Avinu saw the practical, putting it in the practical Mishkan down here, they saw the Mishkan, the ideal one in the heavens. They called it a mountain, they called it a field, right? That's the ideal. But the practical is you need the bias first. So we call it Beis HaMikdash, where first you need the framework, then you can have the Kelim. And that's why the Abarbanel says that since there's such a discrepancy between the order that seemed to be in the making of these Kelim, there was a command that was according to the ideal, and then there was the practical, actual, how it came into this world, and they looked different. So it had a say in this week's Shedra that everything was made kasher tzivu Hashem. That's the way God meant it. But there's a difference between how he meant it up there and how he meant it for down here. So it's kasher tzivu Hashem as Moshe. The Abarbanel points that out, not for this reason, but that's the idea. And that's the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them. The Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. What's the goal? What's the ideal? That the pleasantness of God should be on us. Olam Haba. We should have that close relationship to God in the upper worlds, the Noah. But it's not going to work like that just by itself. We have to bring that through our work of our handiwork. It's not going to happen by itself. We're going to have to work on it. That's the practicality of this world. But you should realize that the purpose of that Maase Yodayim, of our doing, and going through that process, is Maase Yodeinu Koneneyu, will reach back to that ideal. So you have to understand what the ideal is. You have to realize that in this world, we don't have the ideal. We have a process that is less than the ideal, but the purpose of it is to reach back to that ideal. That's the bracha. And that could be when we finish laning a sefer. So we say Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek. The first Chazak is the ideal. The second one is the practical, and together they work to make a perfection. So I think the idea is that we have to realize that there are ideals, right? And we can't lose sight of them. We have to realize though that in order to reach those ideals, sometimes the process is a little bit different, but the purpose is to reach that ideal again.